All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig, and we have Formula Drift Pro 2 driver Alec Robbins.
Yes.
Yes, hello. That's it. So thanks for sitting down and doing this.
Yep.
This is probably the first time we've been face to face before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't get around to a lot of the Pro 2 rounds, so you know, I pop in on a couple Pro 1 rounds, and they just don't seem to coincide.
Yeah.
With the Pro 2 schedule.
Always missing. Yep.
Yeah. So it's good to finally see you. You know, we have a good history together.
Yeah, we've been with you guys for 3 years now, so
yeah,
always running them. So.
And so what was interesting about your program is that you started under the CurlWorks banner.
Yep.
Driving a 350Z, but they're 350Z.
Yep.
And then we worked with CurlWorks on that program.
Yep.
And when you made the jump to your own program and also campaigned a 350Z.
Yep.
You know, you kind of had reached out and just said, hey, you know, I know you were with, it was technically part of the CurlWorks program. You know, you're interested. And we were kind of like, let's make the jump.
Yep.
So this is actually the third year, technically.
Yeah. Yep.
2 years of your program and 1 year with CurlWorks.
Yeah. So this will be the fourth coming up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. So first off, congratulations on a really big season.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a crazy season.
I think what was interesting was, you know, again, we've been with you for 3 years, and I've gotten to kind of see you come through the ranks and watch you drive, and you know, super talented, and, you know, you really saw that when you were driving the CurlWorks 350Z, right?
Yep.
Put a lot of people to their paces.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, you've had a lot, you know, your next season when you're on your own program, you had a lot of pop-ins, but, man, this year just had something special about it. What was it?
I think it was just getting the car dialed in. You know,
okay.
we made a lot of suspension changes and
right.
small changes to the car.
Right.
Made everything a lot more reliable and just getting comfortable in the car.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. You know, we drove it the first year and, you know, things weren't quite working out exactly how
right.
I was used to driving. And in the off season, we were able to make those changes and jump in the car and everything just felt right.
Yeah.
So that really bumped my confidence up and we were able to really go out swinging. And
right. So I would love to be able to talk more about the car itself. But I also saw that MAP Performance, MA Performance, they did a really, really, really solid walkthrough of your car.
Yeah.
And so they're a big supporter of yours.
Yeah, yeah, we love those guys. They're located up near us in our hometown in Minnesota. And so we went down there and we did a full walkthrough of the car and had some fun and kind of showed off everything. So if you want to check that out.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, maybe if we can remember to, we'll try to put the link in the description on YouTube. And hopefully if we remember, we'll also put it on our iTunes thing. But, yeah, so, you know, you did such an in-depth, thorough kind of account of your car.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's like, it's there.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go and see, you know, every piece of Alec's car. So let me tell you what is so enjoyable about working with you and your wife and your program.
Yeah.
And I kind of just hinted at it, is that you're like a super family guy.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you know, you bring the kids to the track, your wife. You kind of, you know, sometimes I email you and Chelsea replies back.
Yeah, yeah, we're very family oriented. I couldn't do all of it without all of those.
Oh, I believe that.
They help so much. And my wife she's my spotter and she does a lot of, you know, our marketing stuff and media and, you know, helps in every way possible. And half of my crew is family also. I got my father-in-law and my brother-in-law and, you know, my parents come to the track a lot of the times and everyone just helps. So
right,
yeah.
You know, it's super incredible for us to watch because to me you're the definition of that enthusiast that we love to be part of. Right,
yeah.
You love cars, you love what you do. You've kind of been pushing into this area for a long time.
Yep,
really grinding it out and constantly showing your progression, not just in your program, your car, but also in your skill level.
Yeah.
give people an idea what that progression and timeline looked like, you know, kind of from getting into drifting. What age was that?
That was, I think, 2013 was my first year driving.
Okay.
And so we kind of ran some pro-am event, or not pro-am, but just some grassroots stuff.
Yeah.
Did a few, like 2 or 3 years. At that time, I was campaigning in a truck.
Right.
And just kind of building that. And one of the big things for me is I love building stuff.
Right.
So I like, you know, tinkering with things and making changes and kind of figuring out how things work and what does work, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we built that. We ran Pro-Am in that. We won our championship our rookie year in Pro-Am.
Right.
And then kind of just jumped right in. We ended up hooking up with Core Works.
Right.
They're, you know, kind of a big reason why we made the jump.
Yeah.
And we got in with them, and they helped a bunch. We ran a couple of rounds with them. And did pretty decent our first couple of rounds. And then the following year, we ended up finishing our own car, campaigning that. And, yeah, it's just been slowly progressing ever since. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things is why I keep driving is just the progression. I love, you know, it gets better every year. And there's never a dull moment in drifting. You're always learning no matter what happens on the track. If it's a good weekend, if it's a bad weekend, you walk away learning something. And
right.
That's one of the big motivators for me is just progression and learning and just keep getting better and better. And, you know, I don't think there's a limit in drifting. You can't be perfect. It's almost impossible to be perfect. But
right.
to push it and get as close as you can, it's a great feeling.
So it's interesting because you came from, like when we talk about progressions of platforms, I mean, you came from pretty extreme progression. You came from a truck, right?
Yep.
So give people tell them about that truck real quick, and then I want to ask you kind of the big learning curve from going from such an extreme platform into a 350Z, right?
Yeah, it was a hell of a jump, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, you know, I see a lot of these people working on and building drift trucks, right? Yep. And so, in theory, I think, oh, it's cool because, you know, you don't have a lot of weight in the back, so I guess it flips around and rotates easy, but, like, isn't it too easy? Like, you know.
It's very different. You know, a lot of people, they build some pretty wild drift trucks and things with, you know, they put car suspension in them and 240 stuff. And all of my builds, I keep very basic. I like to keep everything as simple as possible and reliable.
Right.
And so pretty much anyone in all of this stuff is built in my garage at home.
Right.
So it's all pretty simple. Anyone could go out there with a welder and build this stuff. And so the truck was super simple. It was just an LS swap. I built a full cage in it, still had leaf springs and a solid axle rear end, and like it was basic, but it worked, and it you know, made an angle kit for the front. It worked well for what it was. After making the jump, that kind of opened my eyes to how bad it really was.
Right.
So because it's like,
well, and you stepped Core Works. I mean, when you stepped into that platform, that was not exactly like a 350Z that was transitioned. I mean, that the car was extremely well built.
That was easily a Pro 1 level car. I mean, Ryan's running it in Pro 1 now and doing very well.
Right.
And yeah, so that was it was a bare bones, you know, super basic pickup truck into a fully built, fully prepped race car.
And now that's got to be absolutely. It's got to be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, not even just the learning curve of going between the two platforms, but to step in something that's kind of been pre-prepped, pre-built for you, for a guy that builds everything himself, and to jump into this car, and your sole responsibility in that case is just to drive the car.
Yep.
Was that a weight off your shoulders, or was that almost like, well, I got to figure everything out?
Yeah, I would say it was probably more pressure, honestly,
because
it was
like, that's my sole responsibility, right?
And, you know, we didn't get much testing time in the car or anything like that, being, you know, we're on the opposite sides of the country.
Yeah.
So, like, our first time driving the car was basically at Formula Drift in our first Pro 2 round.
Right.
So it was like, we just kind of just jumped out and jumped in it and kind of wing it and see what happens. And
so coming from the truck, going right into that 350Z platform, what was the first thing that hit you that was like, oh, all right, hold on?
Definitely suspension-wise. That's the biggest thing. So in the truck versus a car, like where they get traction is very different.
Okay.
How they react to throttle response is very different. The truck has a lot more side bite than the cars have.
Yep.
To particularly off throttle. So when you're off the throttle, the truck wants to kind of straighten out. So there's never really a time where you can be off throttle. It's either handbrake or on throttle.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're straightening out. So it's going into the car, you can really float it around a lot more. So it makes it a little easier to get out into outer zones and things like that.
Right.
But it was just kind of I had all these habits in my head from driving the truck so much. And so I would kind of try and use that in the car, and it would just do different stuff.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest thing, is just kind of getting those old habits out of my head and kind of relearning how to react. Because, you know, you're not thinking of that stuff while you're driving. It's just kind of reaction. So.
Right. Right, right. So your muscle memory, your kind of gut instinct kind of has to get changed and amended. Yes. But the only way to really do that is through seat time.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So that's kind of the uphill battle that kind of happens between that transition.
Yeah. Exactly.
Does it make it easier jumping from CoralWorks 350 to your 350?
Definitely. Yeah, because we had a lot of the setup was already partially figured out. We had, you know, spring rates and things like that, kind of at least in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Once we made the jump, and seeing different things, you can make certain changes, and it definitely taught us a lot, and we were much more prepared going into Pro 2 our first year with our own program, having run with them.
Now, what's the power? I mean, because the CoralWorks car makes a good deal of power.
Yep.
And when, so yours is a little bit underpowered comparatively, right?
Yep. When we actually drove it, it was just a crate, LS motor.
Okay.
So it was just NA. I think it only made about 500 wheel horsepower when we drove it.
Right.
So our car was very comparable. Okay. We ran similar transmissions. They were both 4 speeds. We didn't have the quick change in the rear in our car, which the CoralWorks car had.
Right, right, right.
So that made it a little bit more challenging.
So now, how do you do the gear change? Because that's kind of a necessity of the track. Do you swap diffs? Do you have?
All right. Yep, we have multiple differentials. We just swap the whole differential out.
Multiple stock 350Z diffs.
Yep, we were,
because there was a couple of different. Couple different versions depending on.
Yes, yeah. Right? So, like, and between like the G35, the 370Zs, the 350Zs, the automatics, the manuals, there's all kinds of different ratios.
Right.
So, we just got a few different
just
ratios.
Just weld
them and swap them in. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So, that's your quick change.
Yep.
Just take the whole damn diff out.
Yeah, it's a slow change for you.
Right. Well, I guess it makes it better since the half shafts are kind of like bolted up, you know, the axles, so you don't have to worry about, like, I guess, like, leaking everything everywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? It's not as like bad as like traditional, like, you know, spine in axles.
Yeah, so it's none of that. And they got stub shafts in them, so you said, it's just unbolt, just plop it out, bolt a new one in.
Right. You just gotta hope that the 5-minute rule
doesn't
hit you, right? so going between the two cars, going from the power level's the same.
Yep.
You know, what was the biggest change going between the two 350s? Not really enough
felt. There wasn't really a whole lot. I know in the CoralWorks car, we ran the WiseFab rear end, whereas in this one, we've got Dayton 1 control arms, but it's like a factory knuckle.
Okay.
And so that was a little bit different. We made some geometry changes in the rear and got a little bit actually more grip out of it. But yeah, I mean, the rest of the car was essentially very, very similar.
Right.
So.
So let's talk about 2020 real quick. You're in that point where I don't believe it's a secret, right? What your intentions are?
Yeah, no.
All right, good. so you're right at that point where, providing that you can get funding, which is a huge, huge, huge thing, and a huge part of every program, even when you're already Pro 1. I mean, to be able to go from year to year to year, you know, funding falls through. We've seen guys happen to it. I believe Josh Robinson is a good example of that. You know, he was in Pro 1, prepared to go, and then the funding just seemed to drop out from him. And, he's like, well, you know, I'll do Pro 2 because it's half as much, you know, at least half as much money, right?
Yep.
So providing you can find the funding and put everything together, your intention is to take advantage of that Pro 1 license that was given to you by your second place finish in Pro 2 this year.
That's our intent. We're gonna try and make it happen. So,
do you have? Let's talk about the preparations, because it is a really big jump to go from Pro 2 to Pro 1.
Yeah,
this is not because you've qualified. You know, because you're qualified, because you can make it in, that everybody that goes there is ready.
Right.
you'll even hear the argument of people, some people saying, nope, you should stay back and down, dominate in Pro 2.
You hear a lot
and,
of that.
Right, and because you'll get more seat time and different things like that. What are your thoughts on that whole piece?
I guess we'll find out this year. But my big thing is, like, honestly, I've never really felt ready for anything we've done.
That's fair.
We jumped into Pro-Am, with an underbuilt pickup truck, we won that.
Right.
We jumped, everyone always says the same thing about Pro-Am. You know, you should run however many years of Pro-Am before you jump into Pro 2. And we jumped into Pro 2 straight out of doing that.
Right.
And in a car we've never driven before.
Right.
And, you can make it work. I mean, if you've got the motivation and you've got the passion for it,
right,
I think you can make a lot happen.
Yeah. So I've heard, you know, over the years, I've heard two solid individual arguments for this. I've heard people say, whenever you get the opportunity to make the jump to Pro 1, you take it because you're going to learn way more with the group of Pro 1 guys, even if you don't place as well, comparative to dominating Pro 2. I've heard other guys make the case of saying, stay in Pro 2, completely dominate to the point where, like, you're the force to be reckoned with, and then make the jump.
Yeah.
I know which way you lean, but do you have any thoughts on either one of those topics?
They're both very good arguments.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go either way. The stay in Pro 2 until, you can dominate, that's a good argument. But, I mean, I don't know how you'd say it. It's very situational, I guess, because, every year there's new drivers and new tracks and things like that.
Right.
And, making the jump to Pro 1, I think you get a lot more, you learn all the new tracks. You learn, like you said, more with the drivers.
Right.
You
the learning curve is steep.
The logistics. You get used to it all. And I think that makes it easier for the future. You might not jump in and dominate, but I don't think anyone that dominates Pro 2 is going to jump into Pro 1 and dominate either.
Right. And, there's a lot of steps to putting together a program that's able to be Pro 1 competitive. Yeah. There's the part that you see of the driving, which, and please, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a drifter, right?
Yeah.
But I've been around it a lot, and so I feel that I have a decent understanding from hearing a lot. But the driving almost becomes like 25% of the equation, right?
Yeah.
And then you have all these other pieces, coming up with funding, figuring out how to maintain the team, figuring out how to staff the team, figuring out how to travel and book logistics, figuring out how to get your car places, figuring out. So there's a lot of pieces to begin, and double the rounds.
Yeah.
Right?
So, there's a ton of stuff to figure out. And, like you said, logistics and funding teams, things like that, that's well over half.
Yeah.
Easily.
Have you and Chelsea started to make a plan for some of those things that you have now kind of get thrust into having to figure out if this Pro 1 becomes the reality?
Yeah. So we, we're trying to figure out logistics. We got, you got to figure out, because we were on the East Coast and then it's jumping over to the West Coast and we're located north in the Midwest, trying to figure out, can we travel with anyone? Can we store the car somewhere so we don't have to travel back to Minnesota where it's, 15-hour drive one way most of the events, at least that far.
Well, because you're smack dab in the middle, so except for St. Louis, maybe.
Yeah, St. Louis is a 9-hour drive for us, so that's the closest one. So, trying to figure out that and any places to save money and things like that. So that's the biggest thing.
Right, yeah, so the logistics piece is being covered.
Yeah.
What are your biggest concerns in your own head, in your own program? So not with everybody else, not with drifting in general, just with your program. What are your biggest concerns and the things you're kind of thinking about the most in making the jump?
I would say probably money-wise.
Right.
Trying to figure out, that's the biggest thing, making sure we can afford every round and making promises to all the sponsors. We have to be able to make it to every round. And figuring that out. And then logistics are pretty well sorted. So I think the car is very capable.
Right.
I don't think we have to worry too much about that. So mostly more excited to, jump in with some of these new drivers. And
what are you going to do to the car to be able to make it more competitive from Pro 2 to Pro 1?
Well, we're going to add some more power. We're going to try and make at least 200 more horsepower.
Okay.
We're going to obviously jump up tire size, and we're doing a little bit of suspension changes. We're going to tweak the rear geometry a little bit more, try and make it a little bit more predictable.
Right.
And, yeah, that's about it.
That's the main focus, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of little tweaks and other things along the way.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, trying to make things more reliable. Anything that we were seeing break this year, we're going to change. And,
right.
You know, which we really didn't have a whole lot of.
Which is good, because reliability is not... I mean, I'm sure adding 200 more horsepower kind of maybe will, you know, find a new realm of...
Find the new limit of certain parts, yeah.
Right.
But,
right, that's good. Now, let me ask you a question about the family. So what do you do during the day? What's your day job?
My day job is I work for Metro Console is what it is. It's like a mobility public transit system up in Minnesota. And I actually work on locomotives and the commuter train up there. So
And that still allows you the flexibility to increase for the amount of travel and stuff like that. Yep. So that's fantastic.
It's tight. But we make it work. We only have so many days off. But it's.
Do you have any? I'm a dad myself, right? I have two kids, and I know that, you know, I travel for work, and that's taxing on the kids and different things like that.
Yeah.
What kind of family things are you kind of working with or going through?
Yeah, so my kids, I work overnights.
Okay.
So I work over the night, and then I get home, sleep for a while. My wife, she works also for a school. She's a bus driver.
Okay.
So the kids go with her during the day, but then I get up and we can spend all the time we want with the kids.
Right.
Working on our shop. We got a garage at home that we're working on finishing up so that we can... We just built a house last year, so...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so we're finishing the shop up, getting that all dialed in so that we can build the car in there and do things in there. But, yeah, the kids, they love it. All the neighbors too. They all come out and we go for rides around the block in the race car.
right.
But so it's fun. So
you're that cool dad, that has all the cool things that everybody wants to flock to see what's going on.
Yep. So and then they do come to some of the races with us,
which is great.
Grandma and grandpa watch them, and they love watching. So that and on the live stream too. We get videos of them. You know.
Right. And the good thing about going to Pro 1 is that you'll actually have a live stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we can actually be on TV.
So. Right. It's got to be really important and cool to see your kids look at you in that capacity and then also be a small part of it, right?
Yeah.
Especially with working, you know, building the car at home,
yep.
right? They're kind of probably really encompassed in it because, you know, it's probably, I mean, I don't know how it is for you. I know it is for me. Like, if I'm out in the garage, you know, working under the car or whatever it may be, my son always, you know, even if he's not like, he didn't come out there to look work on the car, but he brings his truck out and he's like playing on the floor with it and stuff like that.
Throwing tools in the oil pan. And
right. That's always
But yeah, they love doing it. They, you know, every time we're loading up, they're grabbing tires and rolling them to the trailer for us and, you know, having fun with that. And yeah, it's good. It's, you know, half the reason we push so hard and do this is to show them that, you know, they can, you put your mind to things and you can do whatever you want in life. So
yeah,
it's fun.
Is there any other staffing changes or different things that you're going to have to do or change up for being able to compete in Pro 1? I mean,
yeah, definitely. I mean, my whole crew, they have full-time jobs as well.
Right.
So getting time off, we're going to have to find, or we have a few more, but finding people to kind of step in at certain rounds when other people can't make it and things like that. So it's kind of, it's like having two crews basically.
Yeah, it's a grueling thing, and you know, I mean, there's a lot of circumstances that come into play when you put together one of these programs, and the ability to be able to make a reliable, successful program, it's almost on the borderline of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah. We, you know, there's days when you're like, why the hell am I doing this?
Right.
Like, you
want
to try to figure all this out, but it's so worth it. It's fun.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that people don't see when they see. I think people can be very accustomed to, you see a Pro 1 driver go in for a season or two and then stop.
Yep.
Right. The amount of burnout and stress that happens on a driver, especially one that's putting together their own program, running their own program, building their own cars, crew chiefing, working, doing that whole thing, I mean, it's enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see the fun side of it.
Right.
On, you know,
right,
on,
right.
when you're watching, but
right.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make it happen.
So going back to this season, you know, your second place podium, kind of take us through this season. Like, what did you feel about the season, its progression? What did you learn? What did it feel like right at the end? You know what I mean?
It felt a lot better at the end than it did in the beginning.
That's
for sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Yeah, because round one, you know, we had, like I said, we had an amazing car this year, an amazing crew, an amazing team, all of our sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, we really felt like this was going to be our year. And I felt super comfortable in the car. We got to Orlando. We had never driven there before. I felt super good in the car. All of our practice laps, everything was running flawlessly. We get up for qualifying. I do, like, one pretty good pass. We got, like, a 78 or something.
Right.
And then coming out for our second pass, we were, like, right on the bubble. We were right in, like, 16th place or something.
Okay.
Or, 14th. There was a whole bunch of scores that were right there. So we're like, well, we got to, you know, throw it down. So went out there, got a little bit too close to the wall, and ended up tagging the wall, and it kind of made us a little sloppy. It actually debeated the tire when we hit the wall.
Right.
And so that kind of messed up the rest of our run, but I held it to the floor, finished the run, just kind of went crazy. And
you don't need tires.
No, you don't.
No, just keep going.
Yeah, they're
the wheels will hold it.
But, yeah, so just made this crazy run, and I was just a little bit offline, and we ended up getting a lower score, and so didn't qualify. So right. that was super frustrating.
Right.
You know, knowing that we could have done very, very well in competition, and just not being able to get out there.
Right.
So yeah, coming into round two, we were super pumped again. Really felt good in Atlanta. We qualified second. Went out. Ended up having this intermittent misfire that was kind of plaguing us all weekend, and chasing Josh Robinson. That's not a guy you want to have a misfire against.
he's fast.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power in that car. And,
yeah,
yeah. So we. Chasing him, we ended up going three one more times, so it was super fun.
Which has to be like one of the most of all season, right?
Yeah, probably. I think in Texas we might have gone three with Kelsey, but there's at least two. But
what I'm saying is, I don't think there's been four.
No, I hope not.
right. Nothing like a tire change to be able to compete, to win one battle.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was super fun regardless, but we ended up going out in the top 16 against him.
Yeah.
A bunch of super fun battles. And, you know, both the events, you know, down in Orlando, everyone said that was, like, their favorite qualifying pass of all time. Was
right.
Like, just us bouncing off the wall and just going crazy. And then same with Atlanta. Everyone's like, that was, like, the best battle of the night was us and Robinson.
Right.
So that's good. It's super good to hear. You know, we didn't have the results yet. We're halfway through the season. Not feeling good as far as points go. We knew we had to step up. You know, we weren't super hopeful with, you know, getting way up there in points, but we threw it down as hard as we could in St. Louis. It was a new track. I really like doing new tracks. I like learning new tracks, and, you know, but so we ended up qualifying, I think, fifth, and then really feeling good going into competition.
Yeah.
And we just kept knocking them out, and just running super, I wouldn't say conservative, but, you know, repetitive.
Yeah, I understand.
Repetitively.
Consistent.
Consistent, yes, that's what I'm looking for. Really consistent all weekend, and ended up winning. That was our first win of the season. Actually, our first win ever in FT.
Yeah.
So that was...
A whole bunch.
That was a game changer for us
right.
for the whole season. We jumped from, I think, 17th in points all the way up to 5th. And that really put us in because we were only, I think, 40 points away from the leader at that point.
So you win, right? You get your first FD win. What did you do right after?
we celebrated a little bit.
Right.
It was, you know, after an event like that, it's like, and it was so hot there, too.
Exhausted.
We were just exhausted.
Yeah.
So I think we went out to eat and then went straight to bed.
Right. This is the party of the century.
Yeah, the next day, we were still on a high from it. So it was an amazing feeling. It was super fun.
So would you say that was at the – is that the pinnacle?
Yeah.
At that point in the season?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the pinnacle of the drifting career?
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
And now we move on. We go right into –
Yep.
The next round.
Then we jump into Texas where, you know, we're like, okay, we're in this now.
Right.
We're in the championship run. So I really like Texas. They made a few little changes to the track that I wasn't really a fan of, but we made it work.
Okay.
We got out there. We were a number one qualifier. So we threw down a 92-point run and stuck with the 92 or the number one qualifier.
Yep.
So going into competition, we were feeling really good. We made a couple small changes to the car. And then the car was running super good for practice and qualifying. We get into practice the day of competition, and it's like the car is just deteriorating on us. Like,
oh no.
We made a gearing change, which helped, but it's I don't know if we had a bad batch of fuel or what was really going on. We were never really
resolved it.
Exactly. But we went out there. It's like it was good for the first couple laps, and then it was just kind of getting worse and worse, misfiring, backfiring, not running good. And kind of pushed through it. We ended up going a couple one more times with Kelsey.
Yeah.
And it really made it hard to drive because it was really kind of boggy and laggy, which isn't fun in drifting.
No.
You know, especially in drifting when consistency and timing is everything, you know,
yep.
it kind of throws off your perspective on things.
Yeah.
And at a night track like that, it made it really a bit difficult to drive.
I'm sure.
But so we got really lucky, though, that night. We went a couple more times with Kelsey. She ended up breaking apart. And so we got a buy run. Robinson broke his car.
Yep.
They went into the wall, so
yep.
we got a buy run from that. So just from qualifying number one, we basically went straight into a top three finish.
Right.
So we went. Our last battle was against Adam LZ.
Right.
And had a really good run. He had a really good lead run, and on our follow run, got a little lost in the smoke, and we ended up transitioning a little bit too soon, and went shallow on the last corner. So. He got the win there, but because of our high qualifying, we ended up getting a podium finish. So
yeah, it's crazy too because I mean that was a highly watched battle.
Yeah,
right. I mean, first you know Adam and kind of people you know waiting for him to do that all season, and
yeah.
then he did.
Yeah.
Second, his car is pretty powerful, makes
yeah.
a lot of smoke.
Yep.
And kind of also there's a lot of things on the line there, right? So.
Yeah.
I remember watching that battle on the live stream, and it was like, I mean, there wasn't obscenities used at the screen, but it was close. but even still, so now you had a win, but now you're second in podium. It gives you your FD, the
yep.
ability to go to FD Pro 1.
Yep.
Is that now the pinnacle? Is that now the height of your career?
I would say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was literally nothing else because Beecham, he qualified well, and he would have had to go out in the top eight or something, and we would have had to win the event in
right.
order for us to
right.
go on regardless.
Right.
And because he advanced as far as he did, we had no chance regardless of
right.
how we finished in that
right.
event.
Right.
So we did what
the
we
best
needed
you
to
could
do.
Do.
Yeah.
yeah.
So and that's as high as we could finish at that point. So
man.
It was yeah, it was a roller coaster of a season for sure. But it was a lot of fun. We learned a lot.
Yeah.
And so yeah, going into next year, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm pumped too, and I hope everything gets to where it needs to be
yeah.
because I'd love to see you there, and it's been cool to kind of be on your car and your programs.
Yeah.
Kind of all the way from, you know, Pro 2 all the way to Pro 1.
Yeah.
So kind of be with you on that progression has been a pretty enjoyable thing for us.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it's awesome, and
glad
we
you
wish
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Right? And I appreciate you taking the time to swing by here.
Yeah, definitely.
And sit down with us and chop it up.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. I'm going to let you get back to your...
Walking for days.
That's accurate.
Welcome to SEMA.
Exactly. All right. So that's the end of this one. For more info on the podcast, head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. You can give us a thumbs up, like, subscribe, all that stuff. That'd be great. Well, till next time. Peace.